There was a Buddhist enlightened master who was sitting by the side of the river one evening, just enjoying the sound of the water, of the crickets of the evening, of the wind passing through the trees. Then a seeker came and asked him, "Can you tell me in a single word the essence of your teaching, of your religion?" The master remained silent, utterly silent, as if he had not heard the question. The man said, Are you deaf or something? Can't you hear me? The master said, I did hear your question, and I answered it too. Silence is always the answer. But then nobody would understand the masters if they just remained in silence. Because you have to have a silent mind to understand the silence. And if that is already there, then the question wouldn't come up. Because in the silence, everything is heard, everything is understood. Only the mind, the restless thoughts, comes up with the problems, with the questions, with the conflicts. Silence is the answer. I just remained silent, and that was my answer. The man said, I cannot understand such a mysterious answer. Can't you be a little more clear? So the master wrote in the sand, meditation, in small letters with his finger. Now it starts. Know already how to hint to this person what the essence is of the truth of his religion. He didn't understand silence. So then the next, a word, meditation. The man said, I can read now. This is a little better than the first. At least I get a word to ponder over, to think about. But can't you make it a little more clear for me? The master looked at him and wrote again, meditation, this time with bigger letters. The man was feeling a little embarrassed by now, also puzzled, offended, and a little angry. He said, again you just write meditation? Can't you be a little more clear for me? I came a long way to see you. The master wrote then in very big letters, meditation. The man looked at the word written in the sand, looked at the master, and said, you seem to be really mad. It's the same thing. The master said, I have already come down very, very much to write this for you. But what can I do? The first answer was the right answer. That you didn't understand. You got angry with me. That I didn't look at you, I didn't talk to you. No, the essence is meditation. You have to go in to listen, to understand me, to understand the truth. So the first answer was the right. The second was not so right, and the third even more wrong. The fourth has gone very wrong, because when you write meditation with capital letters, you have almost made a god out of it. Still you couldn't understand. This is the problem. It's impossible to understand the truth, the silence, meditation, by just thinking about it, asking about it. You have to go in. It's very difficult to understand, because the mind always tries to get something. And in meditation, it's nothing to get. It is already there. The art of the master is to trick you back into that space which is already there, beyond your questioning mind, beyond your worrying mind, beyond your seeking mind. That is the art. And when people get in touch with it, then they want more, then they remember. But when they are outside, then it's impossible, because so many other things is happening. It's like when you are outside in the marketplace, then you forget everything about that quiet temple, no? That quiet temple that is outside the market, no? So much is happening and so much to look at, so much to shop, so many people, so many to meet. So exciting. But all that is just on the outside. Then you get tired. Sooner or later, you will get tired. Then by chance, if somebody takes you to that quiet temple, then maybe you feel something else. Inside is totally empty, quiet, peaceful. You don't hear anything from the outside, from the noises, for the arguing, from the traffic. That is forgotten. It's the same with you. You have forgotten. You lost in the market, then you forget about your inner temple, your inner silence. And it's very easy that you just walk by it, because it's much more exciting, so much more colors, action, music, people. Nothing is happening there. But how nourishing it is when you first come in. Then you remember something that you could not get in the market. Then everything can relax. And in that relaxation, in that silence, all your energy comes back to its source. And when you are centered, relaxed in yourself, then bliss comes, understanding comes, peace comes. And in that peace, in that understanding, in that clarity, the whole desire to be with the masses disappear effortlessly, because you have come to something more precious, something you can never find in the marketplace. You cannot talk about it, you cannot write about it, you cannot say anything, but it is there. And only when you start connecting again will you get the longing to be there, to settle there. That doesn't mean you cannot go to the marketplace, but then you will be centered even in the market. Of course, in the beginning it's very fragile, because you are much more market than temple. You are like a bazaar, colorful bazaar, and no temple. Then, many times you will forget. But if you get more and more into yourself, into meditation, then it will stay with you. Till one day it's with you everywhere. In the beginning it comes and it goes, because you haven't nurtured it. If you want to take care of something, you have to nurture it, no? You have to show that you appreciate it, that is valuable, that is precious. That is the way that things stay, no? If you don't appreciate it, then it leaves. That's how people forget. No, many people write to me that they remember, oh, it's so good, or we want to go deeper now. Yes, everybody will when they have connected. That's the only thing I'm trying to connect you to yourself. Then, of course, the mind will still be there. Just yesterday, Kumud said it's so precious, so delicious, so beautiful to just be in silence, coming back. And there's absolutely no desire to do anything or communicate, just spending the time. Not even look anybody in the eyes. Which is one of the things that people carry with them. Even in silence, you have to look and like just a little blink and a little smile. Again, leakage. No, she realized that also, not even looking in anybody, because again, your energy goes out and is totally unconscious. And even here, when I spell it out for you, that no, slowly, slowly we go into silence. Stay in your own space, be more conscious, really come back to yourself, feel yourself. Be aware of the games you are playing with the outside, with yourself. No need to talk, no need to communicate, no need to look at each other. Even then, you feel a little bit bad that you don't look, because that is the habit. Like if you don't look, then you are not nice. You don't look at me, then people get angry. I'm talking to you, you don't look at me. But remember, that is in the bazaar. So this is how the habit is, your conditioning is, that even when you are allowed and you want to, as a sannyasin, still this comes up. You're not allowed. And then you have always more busy-minded people who desperately want to look, to have contact, even in the silence, that haven't understood how precious it is to just have a break, to be quiet, to be content. you have to use the opportunity, get the most out of it. When you are with me, really go back to yourself. Drop your so-called identity, your image. Just in a few days, be sure, I have no worries, you will be back in the bazaar quicker than hell. Till one day, you really find out that subtle balance, where you find something that is really more valuable. Beloved one, my heart tells me silently, all my nasty little trolls have to pop in your light. Yes, I am a troll popper, Sujan. Many times I tell you, everything will come up, and it will come up, everything will come up. It just depends if you are ready to look at it or not, to understand it, to go on. Because it's impossible. How can you meditate if you are full of trolls? Very difficult, no? How can you meditate if you are full of guilt or fear or doubt? How can you meditate if you are full of jealousy, comparison, darkness? Impossible. You have to be worthy for the light, for wisdom. It's the only way. You have to clean your own temple, no? So, beloved, today I would like to present you with the biggest one that has come. My arrogance. It keeps showing itself in small things and plays hide and seek with me. Yes, you've been playing with so many different feelings and things, and arrogance and competition and anger and sadness and all this. Just see it, just drop it. It's in the same compartment. And please, another thing, don't present it to me. I don't need it. Just throw it, whenever it comes out, just flush it down the toilet. I don't even need to hear about it. Why should I? I'm not interested in your arrogance. I'm interested in your heart, in your consciousness, in your playfulness. Everything else, just very quiet. See, it's there. Flush it, burn it. Put it on the train to Bangkok, something. Get rid of it. I will know anyway, because you will be smiling instead of me. Thank you. I only long for the pure peace you share with us. Yes, that's what I'm sharing, but you know, troll doesn't want peace. The trolls, what do the trolls want to do? They only want to do naughty things, no? And the trolls also, they are afraid of light. They say that when the morning light comes, they turn into stone. That's how afraid they are. So they can never, never go into the light. So hide in the bushes in the darkness. That's exactly how people are. They cannot go into the light. But the thing with the humans, they can be in the day also, and they don't turn into stone. It would be so much easier if it was clear. Oh, that's a troll. Then in the day, they are stone. Then in the darkness, in the night, when we are sleeping, then they can roam around. Then we have to have troll-proof doors. Whatever way you see it, many people write, oh, this comes up, that comes up, oh, yes. Because now you are cleansing yourself, your understanding goes deeper. Then, of course, you start seeing. It's like that in every retreat also. The first couple of days, no letters, because people are still totally in the marketplace. Then deeper you go, the more interesting, the more real letters, no? Because you are becoming more real, you are coming back. You are start feeling yourself, sensing yourself, understanding yourself. You're getting more and more in tune with me. Then we can start communicating. Then we can start sharing. Beloved, you shower us with so much beauty and bliss. And I'm so tremendously happy. There are no words to express my gratitude for all that you give. I love you in deep surrender, Sujan. Very good, Sujan. And I have much more to share. Your job is to kick out all the trolls. The trolls, they don't like truth. But miracles are happening. Trolls are leaving. Unconscious things are coming up. And not only that, but you have the courage also to look at it. Because the more you see, the more you want to be free, to be clean. And that is great. That you really investigate and see where is still the unconsciousness, where is the darkness, what is holding me back. You should turn your back to anything that doesn't support your peace, your happiness, your freedom. It's very easy if you are aware. If you are not, then very difficult. So it all depends. Beautiful, beloved Babaji, my heart is only gratefulness. I have been enjoying so much these last satsangs. Your light is opening me. I'm learning so much. Everything is changing and it is so beautiful. Yes, Dipti, when you come in closer, then everything is changing. But you still need my light. And that is miracles. Even Dipti start enjoying so much the silence. That's what they said in the old scriptures. I turn beggars into kings. That is what can happen in satsang. Turning the dead into the living. Suffering into bliss, darkness into light. That is the possibility. But only when you are ready for it, that you see the value of it. That is the value of an enlightened one. It is possible, but you have to become in tune. I've been enjoying so much this last satsang. Your light is opening me. I'm learning so much. Yes. Very good. And I can see that you are enjoying to learn now because it's opening you. And that's what the disciple means, somebody who is ready to learn. And to be ready to learn, that means you cannot be arrogant. You cannot be close. You have to be receptive. You have to be open. You have to want to learn, to change. It has to be an understanding. It's not just entertainment. It can be a transformation. When you are learning so much, it means that you are open for that. Everything is changing and it's so beautiful. It's so, that is the alchemy of being here. Everything can change by itself. The only thing you have to do is to be available. It feels so good to have this taste of going beyond, to be in peace inside. Yes. It tastes so sweet that makes me want more. I love you, forever grateful, forever yours, Dipti. No, you remember again now. Then of course. But take care of it. When you are in it, then no problem. Then simply you are not in it, then. So this is the thing. You have to learn more and more to take care of it. To be worthy of it. And how to be worthy of it? Just to be open. Not to fall into all your games. Be in yourself. This beautiful peace that is waiting for you, that you have inside, that now you have touched, that I'm trying in every way to show to you. Now when you see it, really embrace it. It's very fragile. It doesn't like much disturbances. So it can very easily get lost. That is what I mean by higher responsibilities. When you first have want to take care, when you have felt it, you want to take care of it, then that becomes your responsibility. To be real, to be peaceful, to be true, to be in balance. And the more and more you will feel then what upsets you. How do you lose that balance? How do you get stressed? How do you get sad? How do you get involved again? That's why it's so important to be silent, to really become in tune with yourself. Then you will catch it when you lose it. And then what happened? Do I need to do that? You have to look at yourself. What is disturbing the peace? Very good. Everything is changing. And I hope everything is changing for everybody into the better, into the peace. And that is the real miracle. There is no other miracle that you come back from all your chaos into peace. That is really a miracle. So I really see miracles are happening. Buddha goes on. And they have to go on. So slowly, slowly, it goes in to you. It's the same thing said in 1,000 different ways. When I read all this, it's the same. It doesn't matter who I read, what master, Ramana, Osho, Buddha, Lao Tzu, Rinzai, Hokusan, anybody, Rumi, Hafiz, Jesus. They're all trying different ways to wake you up. That is the main thing. To wake you up, to show you that is something different. It is something different, hidden in life, but is very available. To stop you, to remind you that is a different dimension in you that is unexplored. You've been too identified with your thoughts. Being free from that identification with your thinking mind, with your whole story, then there is great joy. Then there is peace. Then you want more. Because it is real, you want to dive into it. It happens like a shadow. When you first have touched it, you want more. It's bound to be like that. Buddha says, the fool is careless, but the master guards his watching. It is his most precious treasure. The fool is careless. And who is the fool? That is you. Some mystics, they even start talking like that. Like some is like, oh, my beloved disciples, my devotees. And some I have read, you fools, listen. And it's great you can laugh about it, because that's also why I'm not teaching you very seriously, because already you're very serious. When you can start seeing yourself, yes, I am foolish, but I want to wake up from the foolishness, then there is possibility. The fool, he can't stand to be called the fool. He gets very angry. Very angry. So that's why you cannot say to anybody, you fool. Only a Buddha is allowed to say fool, otherwise it's fool. It's only two kinds of people in the eyes of the Buddha. It's the fools and it's the Buddhas. Either you awake. And what is a fool? It's somebody who is not conscious, he's unconscious, he's ignorant. And how do you get ignorance? By being identified with your thinking, with your little self. The Buddha talks, get out of that and remember your universal self. That's the difference. So a fool is one, you are identified with your little self. Then you are very narrow-minded. When you have a glimpse of your true self, your universal self, then you can laugh. It doesn't matter what people call you, what they think about you, nothing matters, because you know. Only when you are a fool can you get upset by somebody calling you a fool. Because you want to prove that you are not a fool. And who cares? If you know who you are, then who cares what people think or what they say? It doesn't matter, because you know. The fool is careless. And when you don't know, which is what the fool, he doesn't know, he's not conscious, then he's careless. He doesn't really know what he or she is doing. That's why you end up in many strange situations, because you are careless. And how come you are careless? Because you don't have awareness to see and sense what you are doing. The fool is careless. That is the ordinary people. He's careless. He doesn't think, feel, reflect, meditate on how he lives or how he acts. He's not aware. But the master guards his watching. It is his most precious treasure. And who is the master? The master is one who knows himself, who doesn't listen to the others, who are not identified with this thinking mind, who is settled in his clarity, in his consciousness, in his silence. He is a master because he is not affected by the winds of greed, of wanting, of desires. A prisoner, a fool, is one who always gets identified with the thoughts. Like Buddha started with craving, desires. That is the root of all your problems, your darkness. And you have so many ordinary, all the fools have so many desires, so many cravings, so many dreams that can never really be fulfilled because they are dreams. But the master guards his watching. It is the most precious treasure. Only one he has. His watching. That is his awareness. That is his whole treasure. His whole focus. All the millions of desires, of thoughts, of wanting, of dreams, of ambitions has become one. You become a laser of light. He's settled into himself. Only that matters. And that awareness you can bring into anything. Without that, you are careless because you don't see. With that awareness, that watchfulness, then you see. He never gives into desire. He meditates, and in the strength of his resolve, he discovers true happiness. True happiness can only come out of the real. The true can deliver the true. The false cannot deliver the true. From the false, more falseness. From the truth, more truth. That's why no people are satisfied, because they think they're going to get it from the false. Real satisfaction, real happiness can only come from the real. He overcomes desire, and from the tower of wisdom, he looks down with dispassion upon the surrounding crowd. From the mountain top, he looks down on those who live close to the ground. And that is the challenge of seeing, of being awake, because then you can see. And how to reach those that is on the ground when you are on the mountain. It's only one way. You have to go down there. That is the compassion of the Buddhas. He is on the mountaintop. He doesn't need anything. He's free. But out of compassion, knowing that everybody is longing for this peace, everybody is longing for themselves. Then they find different ways how to touch people, how to remind people, how to show people the way. That is the compassion, the love of the Buddhas. He overcomes desire, and from the tower of wisdom, he looks down with dispassion upon the surrounding crowd. From the mountaintop, he looks down on those who live close to the ground. And many times I say, you got stuck. You fell into the mud, into the ditch. No, come up again from there. And it's much easier when you have a helping hand. Mindful among the mindless, awake while others dream. Mindful among the mindless, awake while others dream. He leads the way. He is the light. He leads the way for those who want to come out of darkness. He cannot lead, even a Buddha cannot lead the way for those who want to stay in ignorance, in power, in desires. It's impossible. It has to come from the inside. And how wonderful it is to watch. How beautiful it is to be aware, he says. How wonderful it is to watch. How wonderful, how amazing it is to watch all this that happens. And how foolish it is to sleep. And most people, they can sleep through their whole life. The bhikkhu who guards his mind and fears, and his thoughts, burns through every bond with the fire of his vigilance. The bhikkhu is the sannyasins, the disciples of the Buddha. He called them the bhikkhu. The bhikkhu means a beggar. Because in the East you had this that you should be poor. You are not interested in the material world. So that's the whole thing. You should focus everything on the inside. That is not needed. It's nothing to do with it. It's your attachment. Because a monk can also be attached to the outside. It's an inner transformation. I'm all for you should be rich inside and be rich outside. That is the difference between the way Osho started sannyas, and the old sannyas, that was also anti-world, anti-society. But you don't need to be anything anti. Everything is beautiful. It's not your attachment that you live like a beggar. That doesn't need to help anything. Then maybe you're only focused on food, on desires. You see all the beautiful things. It has nothing to do in reality with spirituality. It's your inner attachment or not attachment. That's what matters. There, Sannyasin, who is watching and burns through every attachment with the fire of his vigilance. It means you have to be committed. You have to be steady. Otherwise, you will lose it again. You have to put your whole attention into what you are doing if you want something. Whatever you focus on, that is what you will get. The sannyasin, the bhikkhu who guards his mind and fears his own confusion, cannot fall. He has found the way to peace. You have to guard your own mind, because that's where all your desire, all your habits, all your trolls, all your unconsciousness, that's where it is, in your own mind. That's why it's so important, you have to control it. And you cannot control it by force, you can only control it by understanding. He said, the bhikkhu who guards his mind, you have to be on guard. Because thoughts and habits, they will come. And if you are not aware, then you will follow the habit. Only when you do an effort, when you guard yourself, know again this mind, this thought came. If I do that, again I will go into the same. I've been there before. That is awareness. Now you start catching yourself. Know again that desire came. Know again that input came. Know again that dream came. So, not being a slave out of your own thoughts, your own desires, you become slowly, slowly your master. But you have to break it. It's very difficult in the beginning. It's much easier to be automatic. But then you will never break it. You will only be a product of your own past. The one who guards his mind and fears his own confusion. You should fear your own confusion, your own darkness, no? Bring in more light. Don't allow yourself to be confused. Be clear. He cannot fall. He has found the way to peace. And the way to peace is become aware. Understand how you're functioning. Out of understanding, everything falls into place. You're accepting more and more that wisdom, that awareness that is already there. That before was only thoughts, only a mess. And you listened to it and you ended up doing the same thing because you had no awareness. No, more and more awareness and less thoughts. You have to be patient, you have to be steady, you have to be committed. You have to be one of those, like Buddha said, who guards his mind. Be aware of your thoughts, of your mind. Otherwise, again, it will take you astray. Nobody taking you astray except yourself in your unawareness. Becoming more aware, nobody can take you away. Neither you from the inside or desires from the outside. You will become steady. The one who guards his mind and fears his own confusion cannot fall. He has found the way to peace. In that peace, life change. In India, they call that twice born, Dwij. No, a different life starts when you have changed your darkness into light. Before it was in confusion. No, it is in light. Before it was in darkness. No, it is in compassion, in love. That is a totally new life. Be aware of your mind. And remember, the trolls can look very big, but they are not real. And neither is your mind.
Tambara Georgia.
Thank you.
kwenche ko banye da tenda dola konde choke tubu sheba taso keba sansa taso keba sansa Some combi, Thai Jatur Shudi, Dodo Tarvino, Tuta Nibi Lama, Tuta Nibi Lama. Games. My singing, there are two chambers. Never Lana Dodge, Chenny, the Sungongo, Thank you.